to Write Through the Roof, the podcast for writers who want to improve their craft. I'm Madeline Diaz, and in this show, I'm interviewing writers of all different types and asking, what's that one thing that took your writing to the next level? So come and join me and learn all the proven tips, tricks, and techniques to take your writing right through the roof. Speaking with Lara Mione-Savine. Hi Lara, how's it going?
Fine, with you?
Very good, thank you. A little bit of background about Lara. So Lara is a writer, poet, editor, and a qualified hypnotherapist. She's the driving force behind Musée Mosaic magazine and the Flash Fiction 200-word Tuesday and Friday Phrases word prompt games on Twitter. So thanks for sparing the time to talk to me today, Lara.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. How I like to start is I like to do a few kind of warm-up kind of stretches, you know, toe touches, a bit of jogging on the spot just to get you all limbered up and ready to go. This might seem like a silly question because you seem to be the queen of flash fiction, but what is your favourite writing medium?
That is a very big what if. It depends on the project I'm working on at the moment. If it's a book or a novel, I can immediately see that I'm going to sink into the long form mindset. And if it's a flash fiction or an FP or a poem especially, then my mindset will immediately go to short form. So it's a general toss-up, actually, you know, a very awesome balance between whatever I'm doing at the time. Yeah.
So what do you mean by your long form mindset? I really like that phrase, by the way. I just wrote it down.
Well, you know, in hypnotherapy especially, that we learn it takes a certain frame of mind to do a certain thing. Mm-hmm. And if I am immediately committing myself to a novel, then I am not going to toss up in the middle of it and go, no, this is going to be a short story from now on. 30,000 words into the story. So I am in that mindset. I am in the long form writing mindset, and it's, you know, a commitment that I make to that project. So that's, you know, how I adopt a certain mindset for a certain project.
Wow, that's really interesting. So from the outset, you're like, okay, this is going to be a long form.
Generally, it takes a couple of words to get into that idea, because I have absolutely no idea if I'm going to sit with a poem or a short story or a novel. So it takes a bit of time to get used to it. It just go where the vibe takes you, actually. Mm. You'll know pretty soon where you end up on that scale of mindsets.
Interesting. So do you write every day?
I try to. Definitely do try to. If it's a short story, I write a lot of them. If it's a FP, if it's a poem, I write tons and tons of poems. I do try to keep myself creatively engaged at some point during the day, every day. Otherwise, I'll just go absolutely crazy.
And for the uninitiated, FP means Friday phrase.
Yes, it does. Friday phrases. It's been a part of my life for the last 4 or 5 years now, and I love it so much. It's still my baby, you know. I love it to the end of the earth.
Why do you think it's so helpful? So what Lara does is she tosses out a kind of phrase every Friday to inspire people to write. So why do you think that is so inspiring?
You know, it's very hard to say because it differs so much depending on the FP participant. But for me personally, it's so inspiring because I, as the host, I get to see such an outpouring of creativity every week. And it is the most amazing thing to be able to sit and to read and to be completely immersed in so much creativity. And writing them personally, it's almost like a mini release, you know. I get to write this little piece and I feel as fulfilled about that tiny FP as I do about a full-length novel. It's still just like a great extension of the personality and the art and everything, and it's really, that's what I find most inspiring about it. There's so much that can come from everybody. That's beautiful.
It is fantastic, and it's so interesting to see how just a couple of words can be just taken in so many different directions.
I know, that's the best part. I mean, some FPs, I'm like, I need to read more of this. This can't just be an FP. I need a full series, if possible. And the many directions it can go, and how it can be perceived, and everything. Seeing how people relate to another person's FP, it's just so amazing and rewarding for me personally as a host. The most amazing thing.
Because I personally use it quite often as a warm up. So because they'll be here in Melbourne on a Friday night, sometimes before a Friday night session of writing, I will use it just as a little bit of, like I'm talking about now, like a little bit of a warm up before I get into my longer pieces. So that's what I use it for. And yeah, I'm surprised sometimes it does seem like, oh, I could write a whole novel about this.
Yes. I love some of my best poems and my best short stories have been inspired by FPs, personally. I always start something off with an FP, and then I expand on it and give it a whole new life and everything. And it's, I love how that evolves. I love the evolution of an FP to a short story to a poem or anything.
Good.
That's there.
Great. So do you have any writing rituals?
I do, and they might seem pretty boring, but I cannot write without my safety jacket. I have this ratty, horrible grey jacket that I put on every time, no matter what the weather, because I like it. It's like a safety blanket.
Yeah.
I can't write without at least a gigantic steaming cup of tea or coffee right next to me. And K-pop. I can't. I cannot do anything without blaring BTS through my head at top volume. So K-pop is super important to my writing.
So I can't say I know a lot about K-pop, but I realise that most of the time they sing in English. Does the lyrics kind of get in the way, or can you drown it out?
No. It's an amazing thing that happens, because when you write, it's almost like a dissociation from sound and your involvement with writing. And I love how that can actually work sometimes. I love hearing it as background noise, but the front of my mind is still completely involved in what I'm writing at that moment. So they work. They kind of harmonize very nicely. It's weird, I know, but it just works.
I'll have to give it a go myself. All right. So I wasn't expecting that. So I think we've got to know you a bit better. So let's get a bit more in depth. So how do you describe your writing, and what themes do you like to explore?
I would describe my writing as I'm a therapist, as I'm a hypnotherapist, I am completely all about the journey of the mind and the soul and how we evolve as a human being or as a character throughout the journey of that book or that poem or that short story. So I really, really feel very deeply attuned to more psychological aspects in writing and involving the mind with aspects of the paranormal and whatever. It doesn't matter, as long as our evolution of the mind, of the perception, of the senses, as long as that's a focal point in the story, then I'm all set. And scenes, oh my goodness, they're all so hard to write. How do I even choose? I have I think I like writing dream scenes the most. Dreams. I love really coloring in the symbology in dreams and finding ways throughout the story, throughout the poem or anything, to tie it back to full social awareness and everything. I really love symbology-rich dreams and metaphor. I'm obsessed with metaphor. So whatever scene has the most metaphor, the most dream, symbology, whatever really connects to the deeper part of the mind, that's the scenes I love writing most, I guess, yeah.
Fascinating. Okay.
Thank you.
Not a problem. Okay, so let's get on to the big question. So what do you think has been the one thing that's been most helpful in improving your writing?
That is actually a very deep, very strange question that can go into so many directions for me because, and I keep coming back to it, but as a hypnotherapist, I work directly with the subconscious mind, and the subconscious mind is the seat of the imagination. It's the vast reservoir of all our emotions, all our thoughts, all our deeper machinations as a human being. And what has helped me most in writing has been NLP, you know, neuro-linguistic programming. I employ a lot of neuro-linguistic programming in my writing development. I find it's the best and most concise way of and in hypnotherapy, we use a lot of neuro-linguistic programming. I mean, the two go hand in hand like cookies and cream. But neuro-linguistic programming, it gives me the discipline but also the freedom to explore different parts of writing and how it works with different moods I'm in. And, just like that, it gives me the discipline but also the freedom to explore whatever I want to explore at that particular moment in time. It's been the best technique that I could have used to open myself up to more writing experiences. It's helped me grow as a writer, as an artist, as a hypnotherapist too, in fact. So, yeah, neuro-linguistic programming all the way. It's just been the best, you know, the best thing that I could have used.
Can you talk me through how that would work? Because I've heard of NLP, but I can't visualize it in terms of how it helps in the writing process. So can you talk me through that a little bit more?
Neuro-linguistic programming is a cognitive technique in expanding productivity and sustainability and your inner resources, you know, your ability to adapt to certain things, the way you connect with yourself and your art and everything else. And it's not just entirely for art, it's for 1,001 different things. NLP just helps pinpoint your focus and also your emotional engagement into something that you're doing, which is why with art, with me, it worked so well. It involved every part of me into my projects, and that's why it worked. But NLP is so hard to describe when I don't have that book right next to me. I'm sorry, I'm doing this very well.
I know, that's fine. So is it getting yourself into the mindset in order to let yourself free? Is that?
Yes, indeed. Mindset is one of the most important things in NLP and in writing and in, well, just all creative pursuit, actually, because with a destructive mindset, like, I am going to go and I'm going to go ruin something, I can't actually be creative with that mindset because now I feel destructive. How am I going to create something? So NLP is a magnificent way of just shifting the energies and choosing to absorb oneself into something more productive, into something sustainable and healthy and full of verve and energy and life. So I'm explaining it absolutely terribly, I know, but...
it's quite interesting because the other day I was reading some information about Agatha Christie and how she some academics have been analysing her books and her approach and her structure. And one of the really interesting things that came out of that was that they thought that she had been using NLP techniques in her books, mm-hmm. in the language, 50 years before or whatever it is, 50 years before NLP was actually uncovered, which I thought was absolutely fascinating.
That's actually so possible because the the principles behind hypnotherapy and NLP, they are largely the same. I mean, they all come basically based off the work of Milton Erickson, which is basically the godfather of hypnotherapy. And it's very universal, the themes, actually, just, you know, concentrating and focusing energies and being involved with one thing. So personally, and I'm going to admit this, I'm very sorry to all the fans of Agatha Christie, I've never read a single book of hers in my life. I'm trying to rectify that, but still, I wouldn't know. But it's very possible, it's super possible that she would have added aspects of NLP into her works before it was a thing.
Yeah.
So, yay, Agatha Christie, you rock.
And don't worry, I think she's doing all right without you having bought any of her books. You know, I think she'll be all right. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super out of touch with my reading things at the moment. It's getting kind of weird.
It's all right. There's so many books, I understand. It's just hard to keep up.
I know.
So, actually, maybe while we're talking about books, let's skip to the question about what writers inspire you. So what writers do inspire you?
Oh, my goodness. So many, so many of them. Well, first and foremost, as a Middle Earth junkie, I'm going to say Tolkien, because I can't live without Lord of the Rings. You know, my Elvish name is, I think it's Salathiel. Mm-hmm. It means joy. It's a translation of Lara. And, yeah, now Tolkien, my number one favorite. I mean, he's poetic. He's full of imagery, full of emotion, and I can't live without that. But other than Tolkien, I'm going to say Stephen King. Because I love horror. Which is strange for me because I'm a gigantic wuss. I love how Stephen King can actually imagine a scene that can be so brilliant, so terrifying, so sensory rich in fear and in... It's mind-blowing, to say the least. I love Stephen King. Mm. And then in terms of poets, I have a lot more... poets, I'm inspired by the novelists, and one of them is my very dear friend Chris Mahan, who wrote a book called Mostly Private Poems, and you should find that book. It's absolutely amazing, and his poetry is quite to die for, honestly. And Keats, Coleridge. Oh my goodness, there's so many. Why am I forgetting all of the names suddenly? this is so embarrassing.
It's fine. You've picked the big ones.
I love everyone.
You love everyone. Cool.
I love everything and everyone. I can't even choose a favorite genre of book. If it's beautifully written, if the author is invested in it and everything, I will automatically love it. I see more beyond plot lines and everything. I love the emotional engagement in a poem or a book or a something. It's just, I have too many favorites to count, too many people that inspire me, too many ways that my inspiration can just go. So I love a little bit from everyone.
Fantastic. Sounds good. So you're obviously like overflowing with inspiration. So are you with your writing at the moment? Are you trying anything new?
I am sticking to my NLP background and my hypnotherapy because, you know, it all helps in the artistic growth. But I am trying something that I have personally created, something that brings the best of hypnotherapy with NLP, with motivational psychology, and all that jazz into one super bundle of artistic growth and expression. And I'm calling it, basically for me, neurocreative reinforcement. Mm-hmm. And I am trying that particular technique to help me grow as an artist. And frankly, it's been amazing. Just the essential parts of all of these aspects all in one go. It's been phenomenal. I have very little writer's block anymore, even just for a day. I am always creatively engaged in a poem or in a short story or something. So right now it's been focused on neurocreative reinforcement, which I call NCR for short, and NLP. And it's those few techniques have just been, you know, mind-blowing. The response that I've noticed in myself has been amazing. I can't thank NLP enough and hypnotherapy for giving me this artistic expansion, if I can put it like that. You know, it feels expansive. My personality as an artist, it's just everywhere, and it's amazing. I don't get bored of anything. I don't get tired. I just want to create, to write.
Fantastic. So, you're using yourself as a guinea pig, are you?
I am using myself as a guinea pig, and there's a lot of room for error, but I'm a brave one. I can make it. I'll make it.
Fantastic. So, all right, so I can feel that you're so bubbling over with inspiration. So tell us about your magazine. So tell us a little bit more about that. What inspired it?
Wow, Muse and Mosaic. Well, in 2015, I think, 15, I took Friday Phrases over from a very good friend named Amy Good. And it was very small at that point, but I loved it. It was so community-driven and amazing and so full of encouragement. And I was really young then. I think I was 18, 17 maybe. And I couldn't let go of it. And they were going to end it because, you know, life happens and so on. And when I took it over, I just thought there are so many ways that this can grow, that this can be more. And it took me a good 5 years to get that vision really clear. And in that time, 200 Word Tuesdays, which I also took over from a friend, that came into the fold. And there were days when I was seriously overwhelmed, when I was just, I couldn't focus between two blogs, two games, two anything. And some days I was really on the point of burnout. I couldn't focus on anything. And then I just decided there needs to be a way where I can have all my eggs in one basket, and I can put more eggs in that basket and more and more and still have the best of all worlds, as in none of my eggs would drop and break. And I was in Cape Town at the day I conceptualized Muse and Mosaic. I was actually at the first course of my hypnotherapy, and I thought, a magazine, one magazine with everything in it, that has got to be the best thing that can be done. And that afternoon, I conceptualized everything from the blog to the name Muse and Mosaic. I did the programming for the content and everything, and it just worked out so beautifully. Now, setting it up, that was a nightmare because I'm a complete technophobe. I can't touch anything without breaking it. Oh. And I had to do this whole website by myself, and it looks so small and dinky, but so much work went in it. And then when the work was done, the technical aspects, I could focus on the content. And that's where the magic began to happen because, you know, we are still a community-based magazine. Everything that happens comes from contributors to FP, to 20 Word Tuesdays, all the interviews, the 20 Word Tuesday articles and everything. It comes from the community. And they are our life force. They are the magazine's life force. And I want it to grow even bigger and bigger and bigger. And I've been struggling with a couple of things that have really held me back in the magazine the past few weeks. Namely that I'm working on workshops and courses and things like that, just extraneous things from the magazine. But there is so much about that magazine that is perfect. The way it involves the community, the way everyone gets excited for everyone's interviews and Chinaboy Tuesday stories, and how they all share their FPs and say, this will be such a perfect Tuesday story. Why don't you expand it a little bit and everything? And that's really what this magazine was all about. It was bringing together this community even more. It was making it an artistic home for them, you know, a little slice of heaven on the internet. That was my whole reason for being right there, making it a happy place for so many people online.
Beautiful.
And it's doing just that. It's my little dream come true.
It is, because it's a really kind of experimental community, isn't it?
It is. It's very experimental. And I think that makes it a little bit temperamental too, in terms of people who stay and then you drift and you go and do all sorts of things. But in the end, everyone always comes back and comes together and creates together and dreams and talks and chats and things. And that's just the best. You know, I can't trade it for anything in the world.
So talk us through the actual 200-word Tuesday process. So you send out prompts.
Yes, every beginning of the month, and I didn't do it the beginning of this month because I was super sick, we have two themes, two super awesome themes that are posted on the magazine. And those two themes are used throughout the month. You can write on either theme, provided they stay within 200 to 230 words. 230 is the absolute maximum it can go. And they can be any story, you know, just any genre, provided they use those two themes. And, you know, you can go crazy on it, really. Just write your heart on it. And then that story, in its word count limit, is sent to us via our email, which is museummosaic.info.com, I think. I'm not forgetting it.
Don't worry, I'll put it in the show notes regardless.
And from there on, our assistant editor will be reading through every submission. We'll be going through the and just giving it a basic edit and then drafting it into the next edition of 200WT, which happens on every Tuesday. And it did not happen this week because, again, I was sick. But we have a gigantic store of the most amazing content to go out next week. And you guys can totally join the game. So, you know, whoever's listening, just write. Our guidelines are on the magazine. You are so welcome there. And your stories will be loved and fangirl, fanboyed over to the nth degree. We are a bunch of super fans right here for everything that is written on 200WT. So, you know, always just remember that.
and Friday Phrases is more of a Twitter game, isn't it? So that's on Friday.
Yes, it is. It's more Twitter. Yeah. And every Thursday we release the theme, which comes in a little poem, which is surprisingly hard to write given the amount of Twitter characters. And, well, basically from the time that the theme is published on Twitter, you can start writing FBs. I mean, there's absolutely no time stop there. It stops basically 4 o'clock in the morning on Saturday here in South Africa. But it can go on all weekend. You know, I'm happy to sit here and read FBs until kingdom come. So if you want to write FBs, I'm right here and I'm retweeting and I'm reading and I'm absolutely fangirling over them all. So just remember that.
I know that I've personally where, you know, it's been a certain Friday where I've seen the theme and gone, ooh, I really want to write about that, but then I haven't had a chance to. Yeah, I've done that where I've just, you know, a few days later gone, oh, actually, here's my piece, because I've still, you know, a certain phrase has been just been kicking around inside my head that I just need to do something with. Okay, well, I think we might wrap up. It's been really lovely talking to you. So
it is so lovely talking to you too. I've really enjoyed it. It's amazing.
it's been really interesting to go down that. I wasn't expecting us to go down this whole psychological route. No, it's been really fun. But so if people want to get in contact with you, where can they find you?
You can find me on MuseMosaic, museemosaic.com. And on my personal Twitter, I'm at Looney Mooney Lara. I do not have a personal blog at this time, so I can't get in touch with anyone there. I would love to. That will come in the future. I also have a the Muse of Mosaic Twitter account and Facebook page. If you want to give it a like there, you can. I'm always there. I'm always going to be in touch with you. And of course, our Muse of Mosaic email. If you want to get in touch about doing an interview or a guest post that you think our readers will be really interested in, drop me a line. I'm always there. Our assistant editor will always be in touch to clear up any questions, and we welcome nearly everything. So if you have a creative idea that you want to share, you know where to find us.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you so much for sparing the time. It's been really, really interesting.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor. I loved it so much. It's actually my first interview.
Ah, so you know how many people actually say this? They admit it right at the end. It's funny. But you've been doing so many interviews for so many years, and now, you know, this is the first time.
One of the coolest things, and I'm always the one interviewing writers all across the globe, and then this is my first interview, and I loved it. It was so cool.
All right. Well, thank you, Lara. Thank you.
Thank you so much for everything.
For listening to Right Through the Roof. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe or spread the word by writing a review on your listening platform of choice. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, please go to madelinediest.com or madeline_diest on Twitter, no apostrophes. You can find the show notes for this episode on madelinediest.com under the Right Through the Roof tab. And until next time, what are you going to do to improve your writing this week?